We welcome the visitors that we have with us. I think any given Sunday, our visitors may outnumber our regular members here, but we extend a very warm welcome to you. Nice to see Sue and Travis with us again. It's been quite a while. All I have to say is security, get them out of here. Anyway, it's nice to see you guys. You're in our thoughts and prayers a lot. So anyway, let's get in with our lesson. The title of today's lesson is At the Cross. What an impact the cross had. It in a lot of ways, it went a different direction than many had hoped. Crucifixion was a very negative event. And a lot of people feared it. A lot of people were scared of it, and rightly so. But it's going to have positive influences and such an impact. It couldn't help but have a positive impact on many of those who were there. What amazes me is the people that it didn't have a positive impact on. I don't know how they could have missed it, how it couldn't have affected them in a positive way. But we're going to look at the impacts on some of the individuals. Those of you that picked up an outline, you'll have all the scriptures that if we go too fast or whatever, you'll have those this week. And I know the ladies are going to be going over it Tuesday in ladies' Bible class. If any of you ladies that haven't been, invitation's open for you. I think Tuesday at 10 o'clock here at the building is the ladies' Bible study. One of the people that had an impact, the cross had an impact on, obviously, was Jesus. He was the one that was on the cross. But we tend to think of the negatives, but there was a lot of positives. He fulfilled God's plan. The plan that God had from the creation of the earth. Plan that was in place before we were born. Jesus fulfilled that plan. He accomplished his mission. It seemed like everything in Jesus' life and ministry was geared toward that one mission of seeking and saving the lost. And that was accomplished at the cross. In Luke 22, starting in verse 41, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed." This is shortly before his arrest and mock trial, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus lived his entire life with that idea, that concept, your will, not mine. Jesus would have never left heaven had it been up for his will. But he was obedient. One of the things that we can learn from Jesus was he was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And our scripture reading today, John 19, starting in verse 28, says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus was very in tune through his whole life what his mission was. Even as a child, "I must be about my Father's work." And that wasn't going into carpentry. "My time is not yet. My time is at hand. It is finished." The plan that God had from the beginning of creation for us, Jesus fulfilled. What an impact that cross had. The Roman soldiers standing there guarding him, guarding the crowd, keeping the crowd back, monitoring the situation of the execution. And that's what it was. It was an execution. All crucifixions are an execution. It has been deemed the most painful, ugly way to die known to man. It's not immediate. It's a prolonged, agonizing death. The Roman soldiers witnessed the events surrounding the crucifixion, the darkness that came over the land, the earthquake, how Jesus responded to everything. How many crucifixions had they witnessed, and people struggling and fighting to try to keep from going there? Jesus freely went. No struggle, no fight. He went through with it. They saw not only the events of the crucifixion, what was going on. When everything goes dark in the middle of the day, the earth is shaking, they couldn't help but be affected by this. We see in Mark 15, one of the centurions says, "So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Amen. This man understood power. He was a centurion. His commanders tell him something and he does it. He tells the people under him, and they jump. He understands power and authority. He just witnessed power. Truly, this man was the Son of God. It had an impact on him. The chief priests and the Pharisees, the cross had an impact on them. Don't you know they were just giddy with joy. "We've put an end to this thorn in our side." It's kind of like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Everything they tried came up short. They thought they'd stopped Jesus and put him behind them. So they thought. In Matthew 26, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him." What a pathetic setting for religious leaders to be involved in. You know they knew the scriptures. You knew some of them probably had figured out this was Christ, but they couldn't bring themselves to submitting and giving up the social and religious power they had. And rather than yielding, rather than submitting and turning yourself into this, they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him. In John 11, verse 53, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. It's just, and you wonder why Jesus called them hypocrites. You're religious leaders. You should be leading the people. You know the scriptures more than the people you're teaching to. But yet this is your behavior, plotting to put him to death. In Acts 5, we see how their efforts, where it had got them. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, talking about Peter and John. They'd been put in prison. They'd been beaten, threatened. Do not preach in this man's name. Don't do it. We're telling you not to. Don't you do it. Now, did you like your little stay in prison? And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Well, first of all, why shouldn't you bring this man's blood on them? They're the ones responsible for it. But the idea that they have filled Jerusalem, they thought, we've killed Jesus. It's a done deal. And not too long after this, Jerusalem is filled with that doctrine because people would not shut up. They wouldn't listen to them. Where's your power, scribes and Pharisees? Didn't you tell people not to preach in that name? They thought they'd put it behind them. The impact of the cross said different. In Acts 17 says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world, not just Jerusalem, the world upside down, have come here too. It's just continuing to grow. Jesus is out of the picture. But what they wanted to stop isn't. The disciples and the apostles, it had an effect on them. They will continue. The baton has been passed to them. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, one of the last recorded things that we have of them is him giving them the Great Commission. You go into all the world, preaching, teaching, baptizing, all the things that I have told you. They will take that baton and continue the movement that the scribes and Pharisees thought died on the cross. They will be emboldened by the cross. Many people feared the cross. It had a different effect on them. On the apostles and the disciples of Jesus, it will embolden them. It will give them strength and courage. Jesus did it, so can I. They will preach, they will teach, and all of the apostles, other than John, will actually die for it. They will follow their teacher, rabbi, their Christ, to the same death that he had, except John. And many of the disciples will also. In Acts 5:29, just a few verses after when they had been brought in to the to the chief priest, you know, scolded, "Didn't we teach you not to be preaching in this name?" Verse 29, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" So much for the fear of the cross. This wasn't too long after that. The cross inspired them. It had an impact on them. In Luke 1, Luke, writer of one of the Gospels and the author of Acts, he starts out the Gospel of Luke, says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us." Those people that had been with Jesus from the beginning, that had witnessed his death on the cross, they continued to teach and would pass that on. Luke is only writing what he wasn't writing secondhand information. He wasn't writing hearsay. He's getting it from eyewitnesses and a little help from the inspiration of God, but he's not giving his opinion. He's not, "I heard this." He's hearing it from eyewitnesses and recording it for us today. 2 Peter, an apostle that was there, one of those eyewitnesses, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." The impact on the apostles and the disciples of Jesus on the cross was great. And it would stay with them the rest of their lives. In Acts 5:14, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." How were they being added? Because people were teaching them. The people that had followed Jesus had accepted that challenge, accepted that baton, and continued on. Scribes and Pharisees thought it had ended on the cross. Little did they know. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul would write, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Now, we do not know. There's a possibility Paul saw the crucifixion as Saul of Tarsus. We don't know. He lived in Jerusalem, was taught by Gamaliel, was a Pharisee. He might have. We don't know. It's not recorded. But we do know Jesus witnessed the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, and seeing Jesus after he had been crucified had a big impact on him, on Paul. "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And he would spend the rest of his life preaching, teaching, and running that race and finishing that race. The cross affected different people in different ways. And I'd like to end today with asking the question, what impact, if you're not a Christian, as you continue to study, as you read the Bible, as people study with you, what impact will the cross have on you? And if you are a Christian, If you have put your Lord on in baptism, what impact will it have on you? And what impact did it have on you? The lesson is yours. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you've got sin in your life and you need to repent, I urge you to do so right now, not tomorrow, but right now. If you need prayers of the congregation, we will be happy to pray with and for you. If you've been searching for a congregation, if you've been looking at a couple of different congregations and you'd like to work and worship with us, we would love to have you. Just let us know and we will put you to work. We're not gonna work you to death if you're just a visitor, but once you turn yourselves in, we'll put you to work. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while we're led in the invitation by Frank. Let's stand and sing.